If you have your Bibles tonight and will, turn please to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts, chapter number 27. Again, it's good to see you in the house of God. I appreciate you being here on this rainy Wednesday night. Trust the Lord has blessed you with a good week thus far. And looking forward to getting some fuel in the tank tonight. The Lord to help us. Certainly need Him. And I know usually myself, I don't know about you, but Sundays are good. But by Wednesday, I'm needing help again. And I'm glad for this privilege that we have to assemble together. Many places they want to and are not able to. Many places around the world are in persecution and hiding. The Lord sure has been good to us and allowed us this privilege, freedom to come together, read the Word of God, and hear from heaven. I'm grateful for that tonight and glad you're here. Acts chapter number 27, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture, probably, that we'll read into your hearing tonight about this man by the name of Paul that we all know so well. And most all of us know the record here that chapter number 27 about Paul's warning to these men. Paul's prisoner at this time. And he's going to Rome, and the Lord gives him word that they ought not to go, and he tries to warn the men. The Bible says that they believe the master and the owner of the ship more than the word that were spoken by the man of God, the Apostle Paul. Of course, the storm came as the Lord said it would do. We're going to pick up reading in verse number 27 and just read two verses, and then trust the Lord will help us tonight if you'll pray for us. Acts 27 and verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me for just a few minutes, the thought that's on my heart out of verse number 27, these two words here about midnight. We study the scriptures and find out about this thing about midnight. It's not so much oftentimes in the scripture it is an hour on the clock, but more than that, it's more, there's more to it than just the hour of 12 or the hour of the time, but it is what midnight represents. Midnight is the close of one day and the beginning of another. It is the ending of one period of time and the beginning of another. And here in this scripture, it's not at midnight, but the Bible said that it is about midnight, that the shipmen, those that were on board the ship with Paul, I think if we study the scriptures right and read, the Bible tells us that there's 276 men on board this ship with the Apostle Paul. And the shipmen, those that were skilled and trained in the art of sailing a vessel or sailing a ship, they sounded about the time of midnight, and they found that they were getting near to some country. Now, they've been in the storm. We read the scripture tonight. Verse 27 began with the words, "But when the 14th night was come." So they've been in the storm for 14 nights. We're in the earlier portion of the chapter, if you read, you'll find that they've not seen the sun or the stars in many days. They don't know in their day. They don't have all the technology that we have today. And they depended and relied on the sun and the moon and the stars for their position, for their navigation. And without it, they don't know where they are.
are. And so for 14 nights now, they really don't know where they are. They just know that they're in the storm and they're trying everything they can to keep the boat above the water. But aren't you glad that the Bible records that about midnight they got some good news, for they realized about that hour when they thought everything was over and they thought their vessel was going under, the Bible said they realized, or they got some word, that they were getting near to some country. And so the Lord began to deal with my heart about the midnight hour. I've heard old preachers say it all my life growing up about the midnight hour. I've heard them say we're living in the midnight hour. I've heard them say, and many of you have as well, that have been in church for any length of time, that we're living in the Saturday evening of time, or in the last days. And certainly we are, as we read about it, how it was in the Laodicean age, which is the representation of the last church age before the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. And we realize what Laodicea was in, the shape they were in, and then take inventory of the church today. Surely it ought to cause us to realize now more than ever that we are in the last days. Paul told Timothy that in the last days perilous times should come, and we're seeing those times when men would be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, that they would be traitors, heady and high-minded, that they would be without natural affection, truth breakers, despisers of those that are good. Paul told Timothy that in the last days they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they would not endure sound doctrine, but they would be turned away from the truth and be turned to fables. And that's the days that we're living in today. And if you study the scripture, there's a whole lot in the Bible that the Bible is specific to record some events that took place not about midnight but at midnight, and they're all representations of what's going to take place for the church and for those without the church, those that are saved and those that are unsaved at midnight. I want to say tonight, there is a midnight hour coming. There's coming a day, that the day as we know it, a time as we know it, this period of grace, this time of dispensation, will come to a close. It will end, and a new day will dawn. I'm looking forward to that day. That'll be a day that'll cure it all. Every trouble, every heartache, every worry, every stress, every strife will be cured on that day. And I'm glad tonight to know that there's a hope on the inside, that new day is coming one day after a while. The Bible said that it'll come to a close and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All things will go away. He'll make all things new again. But until that time, I know that time's coming, and we're not yet to that time, but we're about at the midnight hour. The word midnight, or in the scriptures, we read about events that take place at the midnight hour. We read in Matthew 25, I believe it is, that there's a shout that takes place at the midnight hour when them 10 virgins go out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them are wise and five are foolish. Five are ready and five are not ready. And the Bible said at midnight the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the Bible said they all, wise and foolish, rose and trimmed their lamps. But then those that were prepared went in to meet him, while those that were unprepared, the Bible said the door was shut, and they came back and knocked at the door and said, open to us. But the door couldn't be opened. I'm telling you, there's coming an hour, a day, I don't know when it is, no man knoweth the day or the hour. I just know it's coming when the midnight hour comes, and like old Noah's ark, the door will be shut, and those that are ready will be shut in, and those that are not to be shut out. It's coming a day of a shout. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, now brethren, He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, after the trump of God shall sound. It said, Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. It said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that shout's going to take place at the midnight hour. I'm not talking about that I'm setting a time on the clock. I'm talking about that that's going to close out this age, this time period that we know as the grace age and the church age, and usher in a new day. And that'll take place at midnight. I'm glad for the hope tonight that midnight's coming. And there'll be a shout for those that are prepared. I want to say we read in the book, and I'm just going to preach that's on my heart tonight, and I'll try to get to where I really feel like I need to be. I'm just trying to get through the introduction here the way God has put it on my heart. But there'll be a shout for those that are prepared. But we read in the book of Exodus at the midnight hour that it was when the death angel passed through. And for those that were unprepared, there was a shock to them when they got up and the firstborn were dead. And the Bible said there was a cry throughout all the land of Egypt, as such had never been nor has been since that day. The warning was gave, the message was given. Moses got word from God, said, kill a lamb, take its blood, put it on the two side posts and the lintel of the door. And he said, go in and shut the door and abide behind the blood. He said, for this night the death angel shall pass through. But he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We sing that song in the Redback book. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The word pass, if you look it up in its original Hebrew, it means to leap over. The Lord said, when I see that, I'm not going to touch you. You're saved. It's not about who they were. It's not about what their name was. It's not about how much money they had. It's not about what their house looked like. The Lord said, the only thing that I'm interested in seeing is the blood. And there's coming a midnight hour when the Lord's not going to be interested in your baptism, and the Lord's not going to be interested in church membership, and the Lord's not going to be interested in your suit and tie, the Lord's not going to be interested in how good of a person you were, how many good deeds you did, how much money you put in the offering plate, what your name was, how much money you had, or how much you didn't have. But the only thing he's going to be interested in is the same thing he is interested in that night, and it's going to be the blood. I've said it before. They took that. You read in the scriptures, they took that lamb. They killed it in the evening, the time of the evening sacrifice. They called its blood in a basin. And Moses said by the word of the Lord that they were supposed to take hyssop and scarlet and put it on the doorpost and strike it there. And I'm telling you, they could have shed the blood of the lamb, took it, the basin inside, stood around the table and all night sung, there's power in the blood. And I'm glad tonight there is power. But it's not enough that it was shed. It was shed 2,000 years ago on a cross at Calvary. But it's not about the shed and the work at Calvary's done. But it's about whether or not it's ever been applied to your heart. Wasn't good enough to have the blood in the bowl, but they better have it applied to the door. And the Lord's interested in the door of your heart. If you're not ready and the midnight hour should come, it'll be you that's standing on the outside. It'll be you that when the shout is took out that's unprepared, and the shock will set in that it's too late now. There's a shock at midnight. There's a shout at midnight. I'm glad he's coming. He told John over there in the last book, in the last chapter of Revelation, he said, surely I come quickly. And that's thousands of years ago. And he still said he's coming quickly. You say he's not come yet. That's what they said in Peter's day. And that's what they're saying today. But it doesn't change the fact that he's still coming. There's a shout in the scriptures at midnight. There's a shock in the scriptures at midnight.
I want to say there's a spreading of the skirt in the scriptures at midnight. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, we read over there in Ruth chapter number 3 about when Ruth, and we all know the story about Ruth, and I'm not going to try not to get in depth with it. I'm trying to get through this and get where I feel like I need to be. But old Ruth, at the behest of Naomi, who is the type of the Holy Ghost, Ruth is the type of the church, and Boaz is the type of Christ. Ruth has already found herself in Boaz's field. She's come back out of Moab, which is a type of sin, a type of the world. And now Naomi, who is the type of the Holy Ghost, has instructed her to go at Boaz's feet, that he's going to be winnowing barley, to mark the place where he lied down, and to go in and light his feet, which is the type of surrender and submission on the part of the believer. And she said, just go in and lay down and he'll take care of the rest. Aren't you glad for the blessed day in your life as a sinner that you laid yourself down at the altar and God took care of the rest? I'm glad he does, and I'm glad he can. And the Bible said at midnight, Boaz moved, who is the type of Christ, and behold, a woman laid at his feet, and he cried out, who art thou? And she said, I'm Ruth, the Moabitess, thy near kinsman. And she said, spread therefore thy skirt over me. You say, it don't mean anything to me. Well, it ought to. Because what that was is that he was vowing to her that he would perform everything that the kinsman redeemer would perform. And that's what Christ is to us, our kinsman redeemer. When he spread his skirt over her, no longer was she Ruth. No longer was she the Moabitish damsel. No longer was she from Moab. No longer was she a gleaner. No longer was she an outcast. But she was identified with Boaz, because nobody could see her without looking through the skirt of Boaz. You say, what does that have to do with us? Well, Paul said, this mortal shall put on immortality. And that'll be at midnight. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Paul said, we have a desire that we've grown on the inside to be unclothed and clothed upon. What he meant was, we aim to lay these mortal bodies down and to be created in newness in the image of Jesus Christ. And that's the type and the picture of our skirt, his skirt being spread over us, that no more will we be seen, not as sinners, not as beggars, not as earthly beings, but as the redeemed of the bride of Christ. And that was at midnight. I'm going to tell you, before that time ever comes. See, it's amazing to me how all this stuff, everything I'm preaching about tonight, is going to happen. And the Bible says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It sounds like it's taking me 25 or 30 minutes just to get through the introduction tonight and get where I'm needing to be. But all this going to happen like that and faster, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All this is going to take place. At midnight, we're reading the book of Acts again, over in chapter 20, I think it is, that Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises at midnight. And at midnight, the bars of the prison were shook open. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a blessed happy day when the bars of this flesh are going to shake open at midnight. The writer said, it's bars of bone that hold my soul, but the doors of clay are going to burst wide open. I'm glad for the day that we're going to get out of here. It's going to happen at midnight. But now here's where I'm going to preach just for a minute and I'll be done. That all happens at midnight, and I'm glad for hope. Paul said, if we had hope in Christ in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. And I'm glad for the hope that we have beyond this life. Everything I've preached about so far will take place beyond this life. You say, you're saying it'll happen here, but it'll change here. It'll be the ending of this day and this life and the beginning of a new life in Him. But we're not there yet. Oh, but we're close. We're like them old sailors on that ship that day. And they kept hearing, we're almost there.
We're near to some country. It's about midnight. I believe that's where the church is living today. I believe that's where you and I are today. And midnight's fast approaching. But I'm going to tell you about some things that the Lord, and I thank Him tonight for putting this in my heart. It just got to rolling and a flowing. I didn't get that. Didn't do anything in it. He just gave it all to me like a river flowing in my heart. And He said, we're living in about midnight. And He said, there's some things that's going to happen to the church before midnight comes. And we better buckle up. And we better settle down. Because there's going to be some things that happen. But take cheer tonight. Midnight's coming.
You say, what's going to happen, preacher? I believe in this scripture in Acts 27 that this ship with these sailors and the Apostle Paul is a good type and a picture of the church and its journey into the storm. And I'm going to tell you that the church is at about midnight tonight. The day of the Lord is fast approaching. The Bible said it's now high time. When we know the time, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. For our salvation's nearer now than when we had believed.
You say, well, you're talking about salvation. I'm saved. It's not talking about the salvation of the soul. It's talking about the salvation of the body, which is going to happen when we take on an image like unto the Son of God. Paul said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see Him, we shall be like Him. There's a redemption of the soul. We got the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Holy Ghost. And now we're waiting to wit, the Bible said, for the redemption of the body. We still live in the flesh. We still have to fight sin and temptation and our own self. But aren't you glad there's coming a day that we'll lay all that down. And we'll be like Him. But until then, there's going to be some things we're going to have to go through. Now, I'm not here tonight to discourage you. I'm here tonight to preach what God's put on my heart. And I hope I sat in the chair today before church and it got to rolling in my heart. And my heart got to beating in my chest. And I just had to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for hope that we have beyond this life. I know some hard times are coming. It happened in this scripture. It'll happen to us. But I'm glad there's hope just over the horizon for us. About midnight, if Paul and this ship and these sailors are going to be liking the church, then we're going to go through what they went through. And the first thing that Paul encountered was some stubborn men that didn't want to listen to the Word of God. Now I'm telling you, in these days, it is as I've never, and I know I'm young. I'm 31 years old, but I've been in it for a little while, and I've never seen days where people will not hear like they won't hear today. But Amos said it would be so, that in the last days the Lord would send a famine, not a thirst for bread, nor a hunger for bread or thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they won't hear. Now I said it already that Paul told Timothy that in the last days they would not endure sound doctrine, but they would turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Paul got a word from God, straight from God, and said, sirs, I perceive that if we loose from this place and sail, it'll be with much harm and loss. But the Bible said they refused to believe Paul. They felt the south wind. They went on their feelings instead of on the facts of the Word of God, and it cost them dearly. We're living in a church age where they don't want the truth. They don't want the power of God. They want something that'll tickle their ears and tingle them on the inside. And I'm grateful tonight. And I'm not trying to get off on that. And I want to clarify just a minute. I'm grateful for feelings that are associated with salvation. But the feelings I'm talking about are not the ones that line up with this book. The feeling they had went contrary to the Word of God. And God will never do that. The Holy Spirit, that feeler that's on the inside of us, He'll never produce feelings that are contrary to the Word of God. But we're living in a day where they've traded holiness for happiness. They'd rather be happy than be holy any day. And they've traded plans and programs for the power of God. They'd rather have some show and some entertainment, and they will not hear the Word of God. We better, as preachers
I'm the only one in here tonight, I know. I'll just preach to myself. There might be some that are listening or some that will listen later. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to buckle up. And I'm not being rude or hateful or mean, but I'm trying to preach out our spirit of love. I went to a revival Monday night. A preacher called me, a friend of mine, and said, "Will you ride with me?" I said, "I'll be glad to." I walked into the church, sat down. I was on the bottom, didn't feel like I was going to get anything. And he preached, "My brethren, be not weary in well-doing." And it picked my spirit up, and I'm telling you tonight, not just for preachers or church officers, but for the brethren, everybody that's saved by the grace of God. It's going to be weary times, but there's somebody inside of us that'll help us not be weary in well doing. Paul said, "Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I'm glad there's coming a reaping day. Old Mays Jackson, I think it was, preached, there's a payday coming someday. And I'm glad there is. So just hang on. It's about over for us. About midnight, there'll be some stubborn men that won't want to hear the word of God. About midnight, there'll be some storms we'll encounter such as we've never seen before. These men, even though they were sailors, even though they'd been on the sea, even though they'd probably encountered storm after storm after storm, they never had encountered one quite like this. And I'm telling you, the writer of the song got it right. When they talked about the old ship of Zion, it said its hull was beaten, battered by the storms of life. And the church has always been in the storm, and she's going to be in the storm until we get out of here. But I'm glad tonight, even in the midst of a storm like we've never seen, the writer said waves were rough, but the old ship kept sailing. I'm glad to know that she'll sail on. There's a dear sainted lady, she's gone on to be with the Lord now. I know others have sung it, but I ain't never heard nobody sing it like her. And she'd sing that song, "Sail on across the river until we reach heaven's shore, where I'll rest in the harbor of His love forevermore." I'm glad tonight to know the church is sailing, and she's going to keep sailing until the blessed day that she pulls up over yonder and docks on the other shore, and she'll drop anchor never to sail again. There's going to be some storms that we're going to encounter about midnight. And in them storms, if we read this scripture, they're going to be days we feel like it's all we can do. We're just struggling to keep it afloat. You ever felt that way in your life? That you feel like all the effort, all the power you can put into it, all you can do, you just feel like you're keeping your head above the water. Just feel like you're struggling, constantly struggling to keep it afloat. That's what these men felt like. The Bible said they cast out the wares of the ship on one night. That's the things they didn't think they needed. They thought they could do without, trying to lighten the ship so they could get a control of it. But that didn't work. So the Bible said the next night they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. That was the things they'd been trained they always had to have. But they were desperate to do whatever it took to get control of the ship. Sometimes in our lives, it feels like our ship's out of control, and everything we can do, we can't get control again. But can I? And I know that's natural. I know that's part of the flesh to want control. And I'm not trying to preach a song tonight. I'm just trying to preach my heart. But can I remind you of the next verse of that song, "The Old Ship of Zion," that the writer said, "At the stern of the ship stood the captain." I'm not the captain and you're not the captain. I'm not in charge and neither are you. But I'm glad He's got a hold of the steering wheel and He's able to carry us safely through. He knows where we're going, knows what we're headed, and despite how bad the storm is, He's still in control. There are storms coming. There are struggles coming. There are going to be days. I'm just preaching how it was in this scripture here. It's the way the Lord put it on my heart. If this is a type of the church, the Apostle Paul said, when we hadn't seen the sun or the stars or the moon for many days, he said, and no small tempest lay on us. Paul said, this is not your ordinary, average, everyday storm. He said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now I'm going to tell you something about the midnight hour. About that time, there are going to be some days where it feels like to us that hope is slipping away. Going to be days when we feel like, Lord, it's all over and we're not going to make it through. But I'm glad one of the next verses after Paul said it's over for us and it's going to end bad, he said, then we realized we was getting near to some country. And he said, them men, everything's in the Bible for a reason. God didn't put anything in there, just take up space. And he said, when we realized that we was getting near to a shore, he said, we started sounding. You know what that means? They didn't have all this technology that we have to measure how far they were from the shore. They'd just blow a trumpet or some loud sound and blow it toward the shore, and they'd calculate the time, how long it took for the echo to come back to the ship, and they could calculate how far they were from the shore. I'm going to tell you, hey, some days when my spiritual hearing is dull, and yours is too, and I feel like I'm lost in the dark, not lost as in my soul, but my direction. Don't know if I'm up or down. I've driven up and down the coast. Don't know where I'm at. It's black. I've not seen the sun or the moon or the stars. I can't figure out where I am. And then all of a sudden something echoes up down on the inside of my heart, and it's a sound from the shore. You say, what is it saying to you? Same thing it says every time. And the same thing Paul told these men, I'm done. And I hope you get out of this last part. This is where I wanted to get the whole time. And I hope it does in your heart what it did to me sitting in the chair today. You say, what does them sounds from the shore say? The same thing they said to Paul when it got real rough and they wanted to bail overboard. Have you ever wanted to bail overboard and think this is it? I might as well jump ship. It's all over. And Paul said, you must abide with the ship. And so when the storms come, and stubborn men won't listen to the word of God, and we struggle to keep it afloat, and we feel like hope slipping away, I thank God tonight there's a sound from the shore, and it says the same thing every time. Stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. I'm here tonight to tell you, no matter how high the waves are rolling, or how bright the lightning flashes, or how loud the thunder rolls, stay with the ship. That's how we'll be saved. That's what Paul said, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to us one blessed day. We're going to pull over on the other shore. The Bible said they all arrived safe to land in the latter portion of the chapter, and we're all going to get there safe. But it ain't going to be because of who we are or who you are, or because of who I am or anybody else. But the Bible said they were pleased, or they thought they wanted to kill the prisoners because they didn't want them escaping. But the centurion, Paul, had found favor in his sight. And that centurion in that specific place is a type of God the Father, and Paul's a type of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they convinced them not to kill the prisoners for Paul's sake. And so the reality of that scripture is all 276 that were on board the ship, all 276 of them landed safe on the land, and they all got saved because of Paul. Now I'm going to tell you, everybody that's ever got on board this whole ship, one blessed day she's going to drop anchor on the other side. And everybody that God owns going to get off, and we're all going to be in heaven, and we're all going to be saved for one man's sake and one man's sake alone, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you tonight, in this hour that we're in, when we're living at about midnight, and it seems like all the things that I'm preaching about tonight, all the storms and all the struggles and hope slipping away from us and all these things are going on, I want you to, deep down in your heart, open the ear of your heart to hear. There's a sound from another world, and it's saying, stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. Midnight's coming. We ain't got there yet, but we'll be there one blessed day. And until then, stay with the ship. I want to encourage you tonight to know, regardless of what happens in America, regardless of what the results of the election are. And I'm not preaching political. I'm preaching the truth tonight. Regardless of what goes on in our communities and our counties and our states, just stay with the ship. It'll be all right after a while. It may get worse and probably will. Jesus said evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, is what Paul told Timothy. Jesus said the love of many would wax cold because iniquity would abound. Those days are upon us and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But I'm glad one blessed day it'll be far better by and by for us. Midnight's coming. We're about there. And there's a lot of things going on and a lot of hard times. There's a lot of preachers sewing in the towel and a lot of church members sewing in the towel. And we're living in days such as we've never seen. And people can't figure out what to do. I don't have all the answers, but I've got a word from heaven. And the answer is stay with the ship. It'll be all right for us. It'll be all right. Thank God for the ship. Thank God for the day He put me on board the ship. And thank God the day's coming that the ship will land and we'll be safe forevermore. It said the dead in Christ arise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be safe at last. Safe at last. Hang with the ship. Stay with the ship. Midnight's coming. And it's soon going to be over. Thank God for hope tonight. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege, opportunity it's been to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's come this way and for their presence in the house of God.